Isaiah 43 in the opening verses. But now thus saith the Lord that created thee, O Jacob, and he that formed thee, O Israel, fear not. For I have redeemed thee, I have called thee by thy name, thou art mine. When thou passest through the waters, I will be with thee. Through the rivers, they shall not overflow thee. When thou walkest through the fire, thou shalt not be burned, neither shall the flame kindle upon thee. For I am the Lord thy God, the Holy One of Israel, thy Saviour. I gave Egypt for thy ransom, Ethiopia and Seba for thee. Since thou wast precious in my sight, thou hast been honourable, and I have loved thee. Therefore will I give men for thee and people for thy life. Fear not, for I am with thee. I will bring thy seed from the east and gather thee from the west. I will say to the north, give up, and to the south, keep not back. Bring my sons from far and my daughters from the ends of the earth, even every one that is called by my name, for I have created him for my glory. I have formed him, yea, I have made him. Amen. And may the Lord add his blessing to the reading of his precious word. The Confederate Army retreated after Gettysburg in the American Civil War. General Lee wrote a remarkable letter to the Confederate President, Jefferson Davis. He said, "We must expect reverses, even defeats. They are sent to teach us wisdom and prudence, to call forth greater energies and to prevent our falling into greater disasters." And surely those words that he penned can apply to an individual as well as a nation. For what shall we say of sickness, or sorrow, or affliction? Will these things overwhelm a Christian? Or shall we be able to say with the Apostle Paul in Romans 8 and 37, "Nay, in all these things we are more than conquerors through him that loved us." You know, over the last number of weeks and months as the mission neared, as I was considering and looking even to the Lord for what to bring over these number of weeks, my mind was really set on spending the 3 Sundays of the mission preaching messages relating to the mission. Like last week when we considered Genesis 1 and even how we looked at that in relation to the mission and the Spirit of God, the power that was needed in the presence. And certainly over these last number of weeks, the church as a whole, we have been very much focused upon our mission. We've had our week of prayer. We've had the first week of mission, and now we're entering into the second week of the gospel preaching of the mission. And even this week, once again, our main emphasis as a church and as a church body is focused primarily on the gospel mission. We've set it aside to give of our time, our prayers, our efforts, our support to it. But yet, on the individual setting, things can and are different. Just because there is a mission on does not mean that there are not burdens and trials being carried by families or by individuals in this church. Just because there's a mission on does not mean that there's not worry for loved ones, for health, for well-being, or even trials that you find yourself in. Maybe it's the case that in the workplace or in the school place, people have turned against you. And you're feeling the attack of the devil simply because you're a Christian. Ones who were once friendly and kind are now saying words against you and attacking you because of your faith. Heavy burdens and trials that no one else knows about. You haven't told your spouse. You haven't told your parents. I want to bring to you this morning, that's been pressed upon me even over this last week. And it was re-impressed whenever our brother Neville was testifying the other night, and he quoted these words from Isaiah 43. I knew it was the Lord's will then to bring it to you this morning. Because I want to remind you this morning that God knows your heart. And God knows exactly where you are and exactly what you're going through. And God says to you this morning, fear not. The three P's I want to leave with you that you find in the words fear not. Firstly, I want you to see the protector. The protector. In verse number 1 it says, now thus saith the Lord, that created thee, O Jacob, he that formed thee, O Israel. Fear not, for I have redeemed thee. I have called thee by thy name. Thou art mine. Verse 3, for I am the Lord thy God, the Holy One of Israel, thy Savior. I gave Egypt for thy ransom, Ethiopia and Seba for thee. You know, the context for this chapter, the context for these verses is interesting. You remember, of course, that in the original text, there were no chapters. Every verse just flowed into the next one. The chapters were given for our benefit to break it up. But the chapters' divisions are not infallible or inspired. And so if you read it without any stop, as it were, without any pause for the change in chapter, you have the verse 25 of the chapter 42 for us, where the Lord is pouring out his fury and his anger upon his people. And it tells us he it have set him on fire round about, yet he knew it not. It burned him, yet he laid it not to heart. And so there we have at the end of that chapter, the Lord is punishing his people. The Lord is punishing the Israelites. And yet it just changes. Because God punishes his people for their sin and for their disobedience. But he doesn't abandon them. And yes, as the just and holy God that he is, he deals with them justly, but he still loves them. And so when you come into the verse number 1 of chapter 43, you have the punishment, verse 25. You come to the first verse of the next chapter, and it starts with, but now. It shows that God's concern is still for his people. He's dealt with their sin. He's dealt with the punishment. He's meted out the punishment to them. And then he says, but now, I've dealt with it, but I still love you. And then the remainder of the verse, number 1 and the verses following, you have the great works of God manifested to us. You have the work of creation. Because he says, the Lord that created thee, the Lord that formed thee. You have the work of creation, you have the work of providence. Because God was the one that tells us that he gave Egypt for thy ransom, he gave Ethiopia and Seba for thee. It's a God that is over all things, it's a God that controls all things. And then of course you have the work of redemption. Because he says, fear not, for I have redeemed thee. Child of God, this morning, the protector is the creator. The protector this morning for each and every child of God is the provider. The protector is the redeemer. The protector is the Alpha and the Omega, the beginning and the end. Your protector this morning is the one who never slumbers and who never sleeps. Oh yes, those in the workplace or the school place that attack you, they'll get tired and they'll go to sleep. But you've one watching over you that never goes to sleep. The one who stands beside you and stands for you today never ever slumbers. Your protector is one whose eye is ever upon the righteous. His ear is ever open on to your cry. And yes, the devil in the world will hurl its attacks. And it may seem even at times in your individual life that the whole world is against you. That everyone, just as it were, gangs up against you and is attacking and everyone. It doesn't matter from what art or part they come from. It just seems to be coming in upon you. It may seem that the struggle and the attack is even insurmountable. And you think to yourself and you wonder, how am I going to get past this? How am I going to get wide of this? How am I going to get beyond this? I give this illustration to one just a short time ago. You're in the midst of a storm. And all around, you look at the sky all around and it's black, it's dark, dark grey, and there's those thick clouds and the storms and the lightning. And you look to yourself and you think, it's just storm, it's going to rain all day, it's just going to be wind and billows all day, it's going to come in. And you're looking, you can't see one spot of blue, but remember this, because if you're above the clouds, you'll see what's coming behind. When you're in the midst of the storm, you can only see the storm. But if you're above the storm, you can see there's the storm and there's the blue sky coming next. And the one who can see all of that is God. The one who can see the beginning of the storm, the end of the storm, and can see exactly what is coming next is your protector. Remember this as well. Whether the attack be from the devil attacking you from within, and sitting attacking your conscience, or whether it be a verbal attack from without, by one hurling abuse at you, remember this. They are only created beings. They are only created beings. And yes, they may be strong. And the attack may be ferocious. But your protector is not created. Your protector is the Creator. 1 John 4 and verse 4, it says, greater is he that is in you than he that is in the world. Now, there was a Sunday school once, our Sunday school teacher once read to her class the words of Christ, where he said, my yoke is easy. The teacher then turned to her class and she asked the class, she says, what is the yoke that God puts upon us? One little girl put her hand up and she says, Miss, it's simply God putting his arms around about our neck and staying with us. Psalm 118, the verse 6, I will not fear. What can man do unto me? Child of God, this morning rejoice. Even in the midst of the persecution, in the midst of the trial, rejoice. You have the greatest protector that is possible. You have the greatest creator, the one who is over all things, and he is on your side. And he is with you. The greatest protector of all. And then secondly, I want you to see as well, not only is there the protector in fear not, but there is the protected. The protected. It says, fear not, for I have redeemed thee. I have called thee by thy name, thou art mine. You see, here in this verse, we see that the fear not is not given to everyone. Rather, when God speaks here, he is speaking to his people. And in this context, he is speaking to the Israelites. He is saying, they created thee, O Jacob, formed thee, O Israel. He is speaking specifically to the children of Israel. But then, by extension, we can add this and to give it and apply it to every believer, because he goes on to say, I have redeemed thee, and I have called thee by thy name. Thou art mine. Fear not is for a particular people. Fear not is for a peculiar people. It's for a chosen people. It's not extended to everyone. Rather, as the Lord says here, he is speaking to his redeemed. He is speaking to those that have been redeemed, not with corruptible things such as silver or gold, but redeemed by the precious blood of Christ. If you have Christ's blood upon you, you are redeemed. You are the child of God. You are justified by his blood. You're adopted into his family. You've been effectually called. And if that applies to you today, that you are saved, then you have nothing to fear. Oh yes, there are times when God has to chasten us. Just as he chastened the Israelites there at the end of the chapter 42. But as Hebrews 12 and the verse 6 says, whom the Lord loveth, he chasteneth. God chastens his people, but he doesn't condemn them. The world will condemn you. The world will put you down. The world will condemn you to the gutter and to say that you are nothing. And they will hurl abuse at you, and they will say, you are nothing, you have no place, you have no right to speak. But Romans 8 says, there is therefore now no condemnation to them which are in Christ Jesus. The protected people are those that God loves. Those that Christ died for. Those that he shed his blood for. Christ prayed in John 17 and 11. He said, Holy Father, not great high priestly prayer before he was arrested. He said, Holy Father, keep through thine own name those whom thou hast given me. In other words, Father, protect only the saved. Protect the chosen. Protect the elect. Protect those that I am going to shed my blood for. Protect each of them. Keep them. Never let them fall. Now, when you study the fear nots in Scripture, each time that a fear not is given by God, they are only given to God's children. They aren't given to the lost. Abraham in Genesis 15 and the verse 1, it says, fear not, Abram, I am thy shield. Jacob, Genesis 46 and 3, fear not to go down into Egypt. Joshua, in Joshua 8 and the verse 1, fear not, neither be thou dismayed. Gideon, Judges 6 and 23, peace be unto thee, fear not. Peter, James, and John in Luke 5 and 12, and the disciples, fear not, from henceforth thou shalt catch men. See, child of God, we have nothing to fear. Because we are the protected. But God doesn't say, fear not to the sinner. See, today, if you're still in your sin, you have much to fear. Hebrews 10 and the verse 31, it says, it is a fearful thing to fall into the hands of the living God. If you remain in your sin, you stay outside of the family of God, the Lord promises no protection. You fall into his hands as a sinner. You have everything to fear. You stay as the enemy of God. You stay on the broad road to hell, refusing and rejecting his salvation. Refusing and rejecting the Lord Jesus Christ and his death upon the cross. Refusing that free offer of salvation, that gift of God, the eternal life that he offers to each and every one. You refuse to take it. You say no. You have much to fear. Therefore, today, I pray that if anyone here is still in their sin, young or old, that you'll flee to Christ. Don't go through life thinking I'm okay on my own. Don't go through life thinking I'm a big enough person. I'll handle myself. I don't fear anyone out there. I'll stand up to anyone. I'll take on anyone. Friend, you'll never take on God. You'll never take on God. You think you can stand before God, it tells us every knee's going to bow. And every tongue is going to confess. Your knees won't be able to stay upright. You'll go down. And you'll bow before the living God and you'll say, Thou art God. And then God will say, Yes, I am, but depart from me. Because I never knew you. And Christ's blood doesn't protect you because you refused it. You come to Christ today, you accept his salvation. It tells us in John 6 and the 37, him that cometh unto me, I will in no wise cast out. That means you're safe. That means you're protected. That even reminds us you cannot lose your salvation. There are those today and they'll say that you can lose your salvation if you fall into sin. Let me tell you, there's a verse to show you it can't happen. You can't be saved and then lost. Once you're saved, you'll never be cast out. The Lord will keep you. And yes, there's times of backsliding whenever you seek to flee and you seek to run and you seek to go back into the world. But the Lord will keep that hold upon you. If you're truly saved, you're saved forever. He'll never drop you. He'll never let you go. The protected. Then one final P I want to show you, and it is the protection. The protection. Read again the verse 2 with me. It says, When thou passest through the waters, I will be with thee. Through the rivers, they shall not overflow thee. When thou walkest through the fire, thou shalt not be burned, neither shall the flame kindle upon thee. You know, when I read this verse, there are historical accounts in the Old Testament that immediately jump to mind. It speaks of passing through the waters, I will be with thee, and through the rivers they shall not overflow thee. That reminds me of the times whenever the Israelites crossed over and crossed through the Red Sea. And the rivers reminds me of the River Jordan going into the land of Canaan, and how on both occasions those two walls of water just were risen up. And how the water, the sea, the river had split. And there was Israelites going through in the midst in the dry ground. You think even of that time with Joshua and how it was the ark of God being carried. It stood there right in the middle of the riverbed. And those carrying it, they never moved from the very center of the riverbed until all of the Israelites crossed over. The ark of the covenant, of course, spoke of the presence of God. They walked over in the dry ground and there was a great wall of water and not one drop fell down in their heads. There wasn't one splash coming down with the water breaking. They got through completely safe, every single one of their possessions, their cattle, their wagons and all of the people right across dry ground up the other side, not a problem. You think then of the flames and immediately when it's talking there of the flames and the fire, my mind immediately goes to Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. And how they took their stand for the Lord, and there they were in that great day, and the great statues revealed, and it's having that great a day of celebration for the king, and the trumpets go out, and the declaration goes out. When you hear the trumpets, the sackbut, the psaltery, you must bow your knee, and everyone must bow before this great God. And Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, three young men. And all of the thousands around about them, they're bowing, they're worshipping, they're glorifying this golden statue. And these three young men, they say, we'll not even bow our heads. We'll not even dip our eyes. And Nebuchadnezzar takes them. And the anger of the devil, even within Nebuchadnezzar, and the anger of that man and his pride, he says, stoke that fire to 7 times its normal heat. And they stoke it 7 times hotter, that furnace. And even the men that carried Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego to the furnace, they died because of the heat. And Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, they're cast into the fiery furnace. And what does Nebuchadnezzar say? Did we not cast 3 men in? But I see a fourth. And he is as the Son of God. And they call out to Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, and they say, come out, and they walk out. Not one hair is singed. Not one piece of their clothing is burnt. Not even the smell of smoke. And do you know the wonderful thing about that account of Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego? They had these verses. Because the book of Isaiah was written around 700 BC. The book of Daniel came in the mid-500s. And just for a moment, as Reverend Morrow called it the other night, sanctified imagination. You think of Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego standing in the fire. Is it possible that they were quoting verse 2? In the midst of the flame, with all of the persecution and all of the anger and all of the attack against them, and they're saying, but the Lord's promised that we'll not be burned. And they look up in the midst of all of that persecution, and there's the Lord standing right with them. And they can feel, our arms aren't burning. Our clothes aren't burning. We're not on fire. And we'll just walk round in this fiery furnace. We could stay in here all day. Because we're not going to burn. Because God's with us. They proved the promise of God that day. Child of God, the promises of God that are contained in the scriptures are there to prove every single day. So what is the protection? It's the blood of Christ. The all-powerful, unwavering, unending, pure, and perfect blood of the Lamb. That's our protection. There's no greater protection. The world, the flesh, the devil, they've never defeated it. They never will. Because it tells us in Revelation 12 and 11, they overcame him, that's the devil, by the blood of the Lamb. Not by their intellect. Not by their physical strength. They overcame him by the blood of the Lamb. Child of God, when you're in the midst of the burden and you're in the midst of the trial and you're in the midst of the attack against you, don't resort to your own intellect. And don't have that opinion even as the children of Israel. You think of it after they defeated the great city of Jericho. And they come up then against Ai and they thought, oh, it's only a little city. We're good enough. We're strong enough. Just send a few of us. Don't send us all and don't look to the Lord for his plan. We'll go ourselves. Plead the blood in every single situation, every trial, every burden that comes upon you, whether you think it's a big one or a smaller one compared to others. Plead the blood of Jesus Christ. See, when you're in Christ, you're under that blood. And when you're in Christ and you're under the blood, there's nothing can separate you from Christ. Child of God, this morning, I know the attack can be fierce. And I know the trials can be hard. Can leave us even tears flowing down our face. Unable even to move. As the saying goes, you can be paralyzed with fear. But remember this. You're saved this morning. You are protected by the greatest protector, using the greatest protection, his own precious blood. So therefore, look up. Lift your eyes onto the hills from whence cometh your help. Your help cometh from the Lord, which made heaven and earth. Look up, for your redemption draweth nigh.